This does feel a little just weird to me because I'm used to speaking. I do a lot of that, but in a little bit different environment. I'm used to up close and intimate environments like jails and youth facilities, McDonald's and Wegmans and work sites. But as a young boy, I always wanted to be heard. Can anybody relate to that? You wanted to be heard, right? Can you hear me? Can you hear me better? Sometimes I think you can hear me better without this, but. So as a young boy, I always wanted to be heard, but nobody would listen. You know, nobody would listen to me. So as I started growing, I started doing things where people, they definitely listened, all right, because they had no choice, because I definitely had their whole attention. But before we get started into that, I just want to condition the environment. I just want to speak life and some of God's words over this place. I want to cleanse it. I think it's important that we do that. There is spiritual entities that come in on our backs that try to disrupt the things of God, and I just need to make sure that they leave. So if y'all stand in agreement with me, you don't literally have to stand, but in agreement. See, and this is the thing about church. Sometimes we get so churchy, and we get so routine, and we get so ritual, and we get so programmed, we do things with no understanding. And I don't think that's the heart of God, because to me, religion is ritual without relationship. And the Jesus I know isn't a religious guy. You know, he's a very relational kind of guy. He's the kind of guy that I can talk to, that I can have conversation with, that I can share my heart with, that not only listens, but speaks back to me. But in my journey of church, again, I found myself in that very place, doing what everybody else did, not knowing why and understanding how. And to me, there's no authority in that. There's no power. There's no significance. I just become this robot in church. And maybe that's where we're going. Maybe this is a time for us to reflect our own hearts and look at ourselves and say, hey, have I become a church robot? I don't know. But in the name of Jesus, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bind all demonic activity with the blood of Jesus. May no weapon formed against us prosper. We ask, Holy Spirit, that while you're here, because you are welcome here, like the song said, that you just open our hearts, that you knock at the door of our hearts, and that you speak to us, that you open us up to receive the truths that you would have us to receive here today, that you grab a hold of us, Lord, that you allow us not to leave here today without some type of practical insight of what you're trying to get across to us today. And it may be different for each one, but that your word set out and accomplished what it is set out to do, because you said it will not come back void. Amen. When I left this morning, my family said they were going to be here, so I don't know where they're at, but hopefully they come walking in. That's always, who knows when it's time to go to church? Things get pretty crazy in the home, you know what I mean? And the enemy, and in this journey, like I've been churched all my life, and thank God for the people in the family that pray for you. I had an aunt and a grandma that prayed for me. Dedicated me, and that's why we dedicate our kids to the Lord, because they can't dedicate themselves. They don't understand that they need to be dedicated to the Lord. But I had a grandma and an aunt that anointed my feet and brought me to a Pentecostal altar, kind of like this, as a baby, anointed me and presented me to the Lord, okay? We know that he's the beginning, right? The scriptures say that he is the Alpha and the Omega. But what is in between? Our lives. Our lives are in between the beginning and the end. And depending on what we do and who we accept and how we fellowship with him depends on how we live, where we live, and whatnot. Where do I begin? So I was dedicated to the Lord. At three, there they are. I knew y'all would make it. So at about a few months old, I was dedicated to the Lord. Thank my grandma and my Aunt Sandy for that one. Yeah, that just feels too weird for me. I was really, you know what I was going to try to do? I was going to try to get us all in a circle, but I'm like, Pastor Dale not here, change. that's going to be too much for everyone, so I won't do that. But in the jail, that's what I do. We all get in a circle. Not knowing that as a kid, being incarcerated for quite a bit of a long time, and we'll get to that part of the story, I spent hours upon hours in circles. Not on soft chairs, hard chairs. We spent 4 or 5 hours a pop in a circle, and we had to talk, and I hated it. Where today, I love to be in a circle, not knowing that what God did back then, or allowed to happen in my life back then, was to prepare me for what was happening today. Can somebody agree with me that what happened back then was to prepare me for what's happening now? Can you agree with that? Because the Bible says all things, right? All things, A-L-L. Who remembers that commercial? A-L-L, the detergent. Do you guys remember that? Am I dating myself? All things. I mean, literally, that's not some things, a few things, but all things, good and bad, work to the better of what? Of those that love God and are called according to his purposes. So regardless of what you've done, because you're going to see I've done some pretty heinous stuff, but God still used it for his glory. Amen? And who can testify that God has used some of the heinous stuff in your life for his glory? Some of the crazy, disgusting, dirty, downright, nasty stuff that you have done, God has done good with that. Can somebody give me an amen? All right. Now, do you guys know why we say amen in church? It's an agreement, right? And the Bible says if we are in agreement, then we can walk together. So if nobody's in agreement with me, then we should probably not be in church together because we're not going nowhere. And that's the whole thing about amen. We have to be in agreement to get somewhere. And we don't have to come, and Pastor Dale gets this, and I don't think he'll get mad at me for saying this. We don't have to come here to this church at this date and this time to be in church, because I've been in church with Pastor Dale a lot more times than I have been in this church with him in church. And what is church? Church is where what? Two or three are gathered in whose name? His name. So he will be where? In the midst of them. So does that mean that we can have church in jail, in Walmart, in McDonald's, in Burger King? Absolutely. So then why is it that so often we get into this routine, right, of Wednesday prayer meeting, Sunday morning service, Saturday night service, Sunday night service, and we make that our focus of church, and we kind of don't get into the routine of church? I don't think church is something we do. I think church is to be something that we are, because we are the church, amen? And wherever we go, he's with us. So all we have to do is approach one other person with his heart and have a conversation, and we're an instant church. Did you know you can bring church to a nightclub? I don't necessarily suggest it, but you can do it. And I've done it at times, because when you belong to him, here's a scripture. Jeremiah 1 verse 5, because we should always have some scriptures, right? Amen. Because the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. And his word is what? In the beginning was the word. The word was God. The word was with God. The word was God. And then the word became what? Flesh. And that was Jesus. And Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. See, growing up, I was born in 1977. My mom was 18 years old. My dad was 36. My dad was Puerto Rican. My mom was white. I'm what you call a bilingual gringo. Yo te bendigo, mi gente. You know, so very confused. I didn't know myself, but thank God, God knew me, because he knew me before I was birthed. And in a time now, especially now, identity is very difficult. How do people know who they are? And then when the world says you can be whoever you want to be, you can call yourself and you can do whatever you want and you can make that your identity, and it's okay. See, God is not the author of confusion, right? He says, I have given you not to a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind and a spirit of truth. But if we live in a world full of lies, how do we get truth in us? Because there is no truth in the devil. He is full of lies. Advertisement, by definition, means what? You know, the art of deception. our capitalist society is set up on advertisement. Businesses are constantly advertising, trying to get your attention. We are a society in a world that is established on a principle of deception. So unless you know God, you don't know no truth. And because, here's another one. Because we can't see God, right? Can we see him with our eyes? Colossians 1:15 says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. See, and when Jesus, in the series that Pastor Dale's been teaching on, he talked about, we got into repentance, right? And then when John the Baptist was in the wilderness and Jesus came, right? And after Jesus was baptized, what happened? Do you guys know that part of the story? The heavens parted, right? And then what did God say from the heavens? This is my son in whom I am well pleased. So God bared witness to Jesus. So all the major religions acknowledge God, right? A creator. We realize we just didn't get here on accident, you know? But some get a little bit deeper. We as Christians realize that we need a practical example of what God looks like in the flesh. Jesus is that example. The scripture says that Jesus is what? The truth, the way, and the life. There's no way to the Father but through the Son. So how am I going to get... You got a question? Okay. I do like interactive church, by the way. And I think it should be. Because if we leave here being ignorant and not understanding, I think that's our fault. Because temple in the Jewish religion was set up to teach. People came to temple to teach and to learn. How many of us have been going to church for a long time and ain't learned much? I can be real. There was a time when I went to church for a very long time and I felt good. How many of us have left church feeling good, but then you could be asked about the message and you'd be like, I don't know. Can we be real here? You know what I mean? Because I'm a real person and I have real flaws. I have real issues. I am not the most qualified person to be up here. And I'm going to talk a little bit about me, but really this isn't about me. God is no respecter of persons. And my life is just an account to testify who Jesus Christ is to me. Because for me to be here where I am today is only made possible by God. For the fact that I have 4 children, I like to say this, all by the same woman. Would you please stand up, honey? My wife, Jennifer. My oldest daughter, Adriana, who my wife was pregnant for when she was a senior in high school. Adriana is now a senior in high school, and you're not pregnant, right? Right? Kiana, my middle daughter, who's 15. Tori's our other daughter, but not biological daughter. She's just another daughter. Because I've learned a father is just not a father to his own, but a father to the fatherless. This is something that we learned in the fatherhood group that Pastor Dale, and I got to give it up for Pat. We need to give it up for our pastors, Dale and Karen, because we got the real deal here. They are official. I go into jails. I go and do some pretty crazy things. And out of all the pastors that I have fellowshipped with, Pastor Dale was the first one and only one that when I offered an invite to, hey, you want to go into the jail and check things out? Was he like, yeah, I'll do that. All the other pastors were like, well, I don't know that I'm called to do that. You know, the Lord didn't tell me to go and do that one. Hey, Pastor Dale, you want to go to Attica? Ah, I'm there. No, we didn't go to Attica yet, but maybe we will be. So I wanted to just give that up because he is a real, that's why I started coming here too, because I was fellowshipping somewhere else for a couple years, but as I got to know Pastor Dale and build a relationship with him, I've learned to love that man. And I've realized that a pastor, a leader, cannot just pastor and lead from the pulpit. You can't do it from here. You got to get out there and you got to reach the people. And when we were doing Brian and Rhonda's roof, Pastor Dale brought his happy butt over and helped carry up some shingles. And that kind of, that made me love him a little bit more. You know what I mean? Because I have a working spirit. I'm a worker. And God said in my, on the sign that's still in Bill's yard, I think you got the longest running sign, by the way. Give it up for Bill. It's a construction ministry, and it talks about how man shall work by the sweat of his brow. And I believe, man, we are designed to work. We have to work. But we don't find purpose and meaning in our own works. It's when we do God's work and we do the things that he's called us to do that we can have meaning and fulfillment and gratification. I got a couple brothers here with me today that have worked with me. And we fellowship and we have church while we're working. And the Lord kind of took me to that place just by seeking him. I didn't know where this was ending up. So growing up as a young boy in a broken home, my parents were still married up until my mom died, but my home was broken. My dad did not serve Jesus Christ. He was out chasing women. My mom was chasing him, and then we were left with babysitters. At a very, very early age, I was sexually abused. So that affected me. You know, I know there's some of us in here that have been sexually abused, but as men, we don't like to talk about that. You know what I mean? We don't want to talk about that. We'll talk about anything else, but don't question my manhood, right? We don't want to talk about that. But what's even worse is that more so than men, the girls that have been sexually abused, and more so when the home is broken. And I believe in my heart, it's the hardest church, but I believe the home, the family, is the first church, and it's the most underserved. And it's easier for me to go out to the jail. It's easier for me to come here and to minister to all of y'all than it is to sit down at my kitchen table than it is to minister to one of my kids. Why? Because I'm vested there, because it hurts. How many of us know that it really hurts when you try to minister and speak to somebody that you really love, that you really care about, that you really want the best for? Huh? How many of you know that? You know, but that's the heart of God, because how can we tend to his house when we can't even tend to our own? And I thank God that my wife has not let me get so caught up in church and in the gospel that I've grown away from my family. She's reminded me that I have a congregation. They may not tithe, but I do have I do have a congregation, and I do have a church right on Packwood Road, and they do need to be ministered to. And as I'm seeking face, you know, he says, seek and ye shall find. We will. And a lot of us from the streets know when we were looking for things in the streets, we found them. It may have been hard, it may have been a challenge, but when we were looking for them, we found them. So as a young man, I was always looking for the acceptance of my dad. And I usually got it when he had a few beers in him. How many of us know that when you throw a few beers into the equation, things get a little twisted? Can anybody give me an amen? Amen. Amen. There you go. We got some church girls here. Kyan, my little man right here. Kyan, how we used to do it. Remember, buddy? Hallelujah! Huh? Do you remember that? Yeah, he remembers that. He would say that in Chichinos in the middle of Waterloo. He didn't really understand it, but the Spirit of the Lord would fall upon him, and we would play like that, you know, because his dad used to work with me, and I would see him, and we would play like that, and we would do the hallelujah game. So we was having church, but Kyan didn't even know we was in church. So how many of us know that we crave? We do this thing, this lesson in the fatherhood group called Father Hunger. So I'm going to ask you, how many of you can think of this hunger, this desire to be close to your father? Maybe you didn't have it. When you were a kid, you wanted his acceptance. You wanted his approval. You wanted him to love you, to teach you, to spend time with you. Can anybody relate to that? And because God is our Father, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's listen to this prayer very carefully. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. So we're supposed to do things on earth as he wants them done in heaven. We just don't wait till we die and go to heaven. We're supposed to be doing some things now. Heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Okay, here we go. I like it. See? And this is what it's about. This is what church is about, helping each other. You know what I mean? And I like this place because I see that here. I don't see a whole lot of judgmental, clicky, you're not good enough, you're not accepted. If you need a hand, brother, I'm there to help you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. And what's beautiful about this is we're connected, just like me and Bill are kind of connected, because in a way, God had used his family, his line, to help me at a time when I needed help. Mindy, which is your mom, which is your daughter, Bill, was a friend of mine when I moved to Waterloo as a confused, angry kid. And I'm kind of going to get to, I'll try, you guys got to help keep me on time, too, because I will get lost up here, and I don't want to do that. What are we doing on, okay, we got a little bit of time. So that's what church is about, right? Coming next to each other, helping each other, you know, iron sharpening iron, you know, being each other's keepers. But in that, a lot of times we fail. Why? Because we are failures. Can we be real? Can we say, I'm a failure? But in our failures, God is victorious. And he shows up on the scene. And he shows that he will not leave you nor forsake you. But see, I can preach it to you and I can talk it to you, but it ain't going to do you no good unless you try it. You have to, you know, accepting Jesus is just like the beginning. It's a beginning process. It's like he comes on in. Like, hi, I'm Mike. I'm Lloyd. Okay, so we just met each other, right? But right initially, I didn't know you cut down trees, but we start talking a little bit. And you still climb trees? And you cut them down? Wow, I got a tree. And you work yesterday? I got a tree you can cut down. Will you come on over and cut down? For free? No, no. I believe a laborer is worth his wages. And sometimes, and we see this, sometimes organizations play on people's desire and goodwill to do things. But I don't believe in that. I believe a laborer is worth his wages. And if I work, I'm expecting to get paid in some way, some shape, some form. And just because you're willing to serve and you're willing to help me, I'm not going to take advantage of your vulnerability. And because I know that, God will hold me accountable to that. And because I am accountable to that, he's going to give me more. See, there's principles. There's ways to live. As a young man, I didn't get taught. The way I got taught how to live was wrong, was twisted, was perverted, to the point where I'm going to show you how perverted the enemy was and how twisted he can be, because this became a manifestation in my life. It was Christmas night of 1991. On a night when families celebrated the Prince of Peace's birth, a 21-year-old village resident was shot to death after a Christmas party in the village's Hispanic community turned violent. I was that 14-year-old boy that murdered that 21-year-old man. That was me. On Christmas night. On a time when families were supposed to be together celebrating the Prince of Peace's birthday, I committed murder. How did a 14-year-old boy becoming a man, and sometimes traditional cultures celebrate the transition of boy to man. We got bar mitzvah and girl to woman. How's it go? Bar mitzvahs, bar mitzvahs. The Spanish culture calls them, what, quinceañeras? We don't celebrate our children enough. We don't celebrate the growth, the maturity. Who knows what the word perfect in the Greek means? I got something for you. The word perfect in the Greek means maturity. What is maturity? It just means to keep growing. That's what God wants from us, to keep growing. Keep seeking him. David was a man after what? God's own heart. David did some pretty heinous stuff, right? Even a man after God's own heart, he did some pretty wicked stuff. How many of us as men after God's own heart have done some pretty wicked stuff? Can we be real here? Amen. You know, repentance, this change that takes place. And again, I jump all over the place. My wife will tell you. And I paraphrase a lot because to me there's so much here and I only have so little time. But thank God that we do church together, we do life together, because hopefully we have some more time to get to know each other. And just like God has revealed himself in a very special way to me, I know he's done that to you as well. Is there some water close by? Oh, there is. Look at that. All right. So what happened in my life, in my family, in my home, for me to be 14? My 14-year-old boy, I could not imagine doing the things that I did, Rhonda. The Julian that comes to your house and plays with Nathan and is just innocent, and I can't imagine him doing what I did. And thank God that things can be broken. Amen? That the things that were once in me don't have to go forth in my family. The things that are in you right now don't have to go forward. The things that were in you don't have to go forward. They can be stopped and they can be broken. If only you'll say, pick me. There's a scripture here that talks about, Isaiah 6, verse 8. Then I heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, because this is our choice. God gives us choices. And I've kind of adjusted my parenting style here for a minute. I'm starting to get away from like mandates and direct orders, because God doesn't make me do anything. And I don't think he honors so much the things I do out of fear or out of law, but the things I do out of love and out of understanding. I come to church because I want to serve my God. I want to get to know my daddy. I want to be in his presence. I want to be loved by him. I don't mind throwing some stuff in that plate. I don't mind, because the Lord has given me so much more than I could ever put in that plate. And he's proven it over and over and over again. So my heart as a father is to get to a point through a relationship, right? Because this walk with Jesus Christ is done through a relationship, right? And a lot of us don't understand relationships, especially when the most closest of relationships, mom and dad, have been broken. And this is why marriage is so important and so sacred and so, but yet so defiled in today's society, because it's what connects us to God. We are his bride. He is our groom. It's how he refers to us as his bride. And the second next thing is husband and wives. And that weak relationship that is not founded on God and in Christ becomes defiled. And then what happens? Other men come into the house. Other people. You have kids that are born with different parents. You know, just like my brothers and sisters. I have at least 10 brothers and sisters. At least. Different. We all got the same dad. We got a lot of different moms. And that's that we know of. I think there's a few more. You know, I think there's a few more. And in that comes pride. What are the heads of... Because if we really look in a practical sense what Satan looks like, how can we identify him? The Bible says that you will know who they are, Christians, not because they say, I'm a Christian. I know a lot of people that say they're a Christian and they love Jesus. But what does Jesus say? You will know them by their what? Their fruits. So in the same sense, you will know non-Christians by their fruits. You know... So what does Satan look like? I think he's very envious. I think he's very jealous, very arrogant, very prideful, very deceitful. So when I see these things, I'm aware, I know who's be, and it may not be the person in a sense, but the spirit. And it took me a while to understand what a spirit was. A spirit is a life force. A demon is an unclean spirit. So if you have, say, a spirit of addiction in you, it's an unclean spirit that resides in you, that is a life force that wants to live, that craves this thing that it has to be fed in order to keep growing. So if it's a lust spirit, it needs more lust to stay alive. The less lust you give it, the less it can live. If it's a addiction spirit, say drugs, if you don't feed it drugs, it may look for other things. It may look for, and it can get twisted. We see a story in here where they're asked to identify themselves, and what do they say? Legions. Who are you? We are legions, for we are many. And in our families, in our lives, still to this day, there are things that, as Christians, we cannot have demons that live in us, because you cannot have a Holy Spirit and an unclean spirit reside in the same vessel. But you can still be influenced by that unclean spirit. It's a matter of what voice you're going to listen to. That night, on Christmas night at 14 years old, all the things, all the conversations that I had with my dad that were twisted, and what had happened that night with the altercation that I had, allowed the enemy to come and whisper some things in my ears and tell me to go and do what I did. I still today hear voices. Don't tell nobody. Don't nobody call mental health and make a medical health arrest. But I still hear voices today. But the beauty of it is I talk back to them. We have conversations. But I don't use my words, because my words have no authority. My words have no power. But as I have learned to speak God's word into my situation, into my marriage, into my home, into my family, he accomplishes in truth, indeed, because he says every man is a liar. But indeed, indeed is an action. He is true. And he will show you who he is. The very first time that I ever spoke like this was at my little sister's funeral. She died 13 days after my little brother. My little brother was 14. She was 16. I didn't go to seminary. I'm not qualified like that. I'm a hard knocks kid. The God I know, I've learned from life. When everyone else failed me, when I failed myself, when nobody else could do anything for me, and I called on his name, that name of Jesus, that name above all names, that name that you and your house shall be saved on, that's when things began to change. That's when things got a little bit worse for a minute, but they began to get better. You know, still to, for me and my family still to be together to this day, me and my wife, I don't want to embarrass my wife, but our first date was the most dysfunctional of places. We started off very bad. How many of us in life have started off very bad? Amen, right? But we don't have to finish where we started. I always say that I don't mind starting at the bottom. I was talking with you yesterday, Vince. Where you at, brother? I don't mind starting at the bottom, because if I stay there, that is my fault. That is my fault. Because what do we have? Time, talent, energy, skills, and abilities. If we don't trust in the Lord with those and multiply them for his glory, what are we doing? We're wasting our breath. If we only come to church to have church, to honor God, we're missing it, folks. We're missing it. There's a population of people out there that want to be loved on. And sometimes you don't even got to tell them about Jesus. Sometimes you just got to buy them a piece of pizza. Sit down and have a conversation with them. Love on them a little bit. And the Spirit gave that to me when I was going to a maximum security youth facility. These are kids that kill. The one kid that shot the cop in the back of the head in Rochester a few years ago, he was one of the kids that attended my group. And I was really seeking God as to what I should do while I was there with these young men. Like, I'm trying to prepare a sermon, and I'm trying to do all this thing. And this is a population of people. When I asked them, why do we celebrate Christmas? I don't know. What kind of sermon? You know what the Lord spoke to me in my spirit? He said, Michael, you just go in there and love on them boys. Just go in there. You just go in there and love on them. So that's what I began to do, is just go in there and love on them. Love that is unchurchy and unlovable that they may be. Just go in there and love on them. And as I do that, God loves on me more, because the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. But as we give of ourselves, of the things that God has given us, we receive more than we could ever give ourselves. And you do that, brother. I've seen this brother in places given of himself, of his time, of his talent, of his energy. Naturally, not for the spotlight, because when we do it, and this is the spotlight kind of feels, it just feels weird to me. You know what I mean? Because when I wanted it, the world didn't want to give it to me. And now that I don't really want it, God has given it to me. And so I know who I am today. For the being a confused Puerto Rican and white kid most of my life, I didn't know who I was. I went to state prison, an angry, lost, confused little boy. And I came out a drug dealer. How does that happen? You know what I mean? And for years, I flooded these communities with drugs and destroyed families and homes. But I don't sell drugs today because I'm scared of going to jail. I don't sell drugs today because I understand how they destroy families, how they destroy marriages, how they destroy homes. So from understanding, the Bible says there is no better thing than understanding. And the Holy Spirit is our counselor. Jesus, before he was getting to leave, introduced us to the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm getting ready to go. I got to leave you guys. I'm out of here. But don't be scared, because the counselor's coming. That counselor is with us all the time. Still to this day, with what I've been through, with being locked up, going to prison, committing murder, burying my brother, my sister, and my mother, I've had no formal counseling. Not that I'm against that. You know, there's a need for that. I understand that. No medication. Not that I'm against that. It just wasn't for me. But I've had a lot of conversations with my counselor, Jesus, and he's given me understanding. He's given me insight. And again, I have to keep applying this. The miracles of God, the children of Israel, when God parted the Red Sea, right? That's a pretty big miracle, right? When God parts the Red Sea. Janelle, like, if God parted an ocean and said, go ahead, Janelle, walk through, you'd be like, wow, that's pretty amazing. Miracles of God are not enough to keep you and sustain you. Because what did they do shortly after? They went up on Mount Sinai, right? Moses came down with the commandments, and what were they doing? Having orgies and worshiping golden calves. Right after God performed a miracle. That's Bible. I mean, this is church. Like, can we be real in here? I mean, that's what it was. So the miracles of God will not keep you. That's your choice. You know, do you want him? And it's not your actions necessarily that separates you from God. Because I'm a wretched man. No matter how hard I try, I fall short every day. You know, I fail, but the Bible says what? A wicked man will fall once and stay stuck, but a righteous man will continue to get back up. I cannot, no matter how crazy things get sometimes, I cannot walk out on my family. I am not willing to accept the voice of the enemy that says, just leave, get out of it. No. I will not abandon my family because I know my position. I am the provider, the protector, the pastor, the one who stands guard at the post in my home. If I leave that place, who else is going to come there? You think the next man that comes to my home is going to love my children like I do? My blossoming, beautiful daughters? Is he going to look at them as virtuous women like I do? Probably not. They will become another statistic. My call is to men. I think our problem is men. We have failed to become men. We have failed to gird ourselves up. We have failed to become men and men of God. We have failed to love God and to love our kids, to build relationships, to get to know them. We've tried to take this authoritative, and I'm not saying everybody, but I'm saying in a general, and some of it's out of ignorance because we don't know. Nobody taught us. I only know what I've been taught, and all I've been taught is what I've learned, what somebody has showed me. So I come to church. I come to this church. I come to learn. And while I'm here, I'll give of what I can get, you know, what I can give. This brother here came over and was like, hey, you know, he's trying to do something from his heart, I think, for his niece. No doubt, brother. I'm all about that. Give me a few of those. You know what I mean? I didn't come here to get those, but while I'm here, I'll do that. That's okay. That's something good because God is of what? Of things that are good, of pure, of purpose. So then why, as Christians, how come we can't be about those things? You know, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's that love, this thing. Are we going to let this thing that God has given us control us and take over us? This is another, I want to show you just how perverted the enemy can be. So on my wedding night, right, we had at our reception, mine and my wife's reception, we had a rapper, you know. Reggaeton was the music back then. And there was a gentleman by the name of Vampy Rapsta, right? He performed at our wedding, Carlos Cruz. And that night, I gave him a call, and I said, you know what? I had a ton of money then. I was 24 years old. I was selling drugs. Didn't know what to do with it. I said, I'm going to open a record company. This is what it became. But look what we did. Look how perverted the enemy was. I put this artist on a cross. Do you see this? I mean, look at the story. Not only did the enemy deceive me into committing murder on Christmas night at a time that we're supposed to honor God, but right after I get married, I'm going to have a record label. I'm going to be a record producer. And then in here, what do? We take the arms off the cross, and we put it on the CD, and we call it Reality Life. There's a beautiful part of the story, though. And then we put a tombstone, right? And there I am, the executive producer, Michael A. Ruiz. Today, thank God the enemy is a liar, because this guy right here, the rapper, he's an evangelist. He goes to South America. He travels the world proclaiming and speaking about Jesus Christ. And so is the guy that made all the instrumentals to the music. So God will accomplish his purpose. His word will not come back void. He is not a liar. He is not a man for he should lie or repent. When he says something, it's going to happen. But in that was a journey and his work. And the hardest work today, I still say, is marriage. For me, the hardest job I have is marriage. But it's the most rewarding and it's the most honorable. And it needs to be encouraged. It needs to be taught on. It's something that's, these are the things, when I go into some of these facilities and speak to, you know, some of these young men that got, like me, 4, 5, 6 brothers and sisters from different dads, different moms, I tell them things like, all your kids are going to come from the same woman. And they look at me like, what do you, I understand things happen, don't get me wrong. And I'm not here because Jesus came to do what? To save the world, not to condemn the world. So there's no condemnation coming for me. So if anybody's feeling that kind of way, we bind that by the blood of Jesus, because there is no condemnation. But at the same time, I know that if my life would have aligned more with God's will, my will with God's will, the burdens and the tragedies and the things that I had to go through would have been minimized. A lot of the stuff that we're going through, folks, in this world, are because we choose to go through them. We choose to be disobedient to the will of God. We know what he wants for us. And as I'm speaking with you, trust me, I'm speaking to myself first. God ain't give me big ears for nothing. You know what I mean? And that's the biggest thing, is to hear myself speak, because it's for me first. And if anybody else wants it, then, you know, I guess we got a double portion here. But, yes, brother.
Mm-hmm. And I said, that's one of the things that I said, you got a choice. You know, you went in jail smoking, you come back out, it's your choice to smoke or whatever. So, you know, she thought about that all that night. So I'm hoping that, you know, through this that she turned on and spent about it.
But at the same time, and I do the same thing, I had a little interesting conversation with my oldest daughter over there, Adriana, last night. And I love her. I love my oldest. I mean, she made me a dad. I mean, and Ava, we didn't introduce you, Ava. Where are you at, Ava? Ava, can you say hi? See, Adriana thought everything was about her until Ava came. And then Ava reminded her, no, it's about me too. So now we have them two. They kind of have this little thing going on, like the oldest and the youngest, but it's beautiful, and I'm grateful that, and I've done a lot of damage in my home. I can say that. I've done a lot of damage in my home being a Christian because of ignorance, because of confusion, because of disobedience, and it's affected my kids' walk. I know that, and I can accept that, and I know God will deal with me for that, but I continue to work no matter what happens. Brother Bates, don't allow that relationship as father and daughter, regardless of what she does. And again, I'm speaking to myself. I have a teenage daughter. She's 17 years old, and she just began dating. So we know I'm in for it, right? No matter what she does, do not allow that relationship of daddy-daughter to be broken. Last year, we did a trip. Me and my two daughters, we went to Puerto Rico, and it was just the daddy-daughter. It started off as just me and my oldest. But being sensitive, see, we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a very gentle spirit. It's not a very bullish, violent, demanding. It whispers. And if you listen, it will talk you through the biggest storms of life. And the Holy Spirit was telling me, look, you got another daughter too, and she really needs to go. And that ended up happening. And it was probably the best vacation I've ever had with my two daughters. And it was healing, because there was division. Because they were like, it was dad against us, because I was this authoritative, and it's going to be this way. And all that did was birth deception and rebellion. And they still did that stuff. They just got very good at hiding it. Whereas today, there's some other things that I see that I don't necessarily like and approve. But guess what? deception's not there. Those other things may be there, but because I see them, I can deal with them. But because deception cannot be there, now I know what I'm working with. And that comes from relationship. And when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you see, when his light shines upon us, where there is light, darkness cannot exist. And the hardest thing as Christians sometimes is once the light shines on us, and especially if we've been walking with God for a while and the light shines on us, you could see some stuff on you. Like, oh man, look at that. I got something right there. It may have been some more. This morning's deodorant. I don't know. But there's something there, right? So as my brother, who are you to tell me about what I got on? Who are you to tell me about what I got on my sleeve? Now, if you did it in love, like, hey, brother Mike, there's something on your sleeve. You might want to come over here. You know, don't embarrass. But if you're like, oh, brother Mike, look what you got on your sleeve, man. Where'd you get that shirt? You know what I mean? Now you're embarrassing me. Now, what is your motivation? See, and I first learned about motives when I was 17 years old in state prison. And there was somebody that had one motive, and then there was another gentleman that was teaching me about motives. And while he was teaching me about motives, he showed me his motive while he was displaying somebody else's motive. See, God's motive is what? It's his will that none should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of repentance, which brings what? Everlasting life. An abundant life. I don't want to wait till I die to experience a piece of heaven. I don't want to. My wife sent me a text last night thanking me for being a good husband. Well, you know what? That's not good enough. I don't want to be just a good husband. I really desire to be a great husband. I do. And even though my actions sometimes may not align with that, see, our actions don't always align with who we are. I'm not a murderer. I may have killed somebody, but I am not a murderer. I love people. And God is so good that the unborn child of the man I murdered, I got to meet. And I knew I was going to meet him when I met him before I met him, and it wasn't planned. But that's the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit. Can we get just a little bit of music? Just a little bit of just like, because we're going to kind of wind down a little bit. Just kind of a little melody. Just do your thing, sister. Add some vocals in it. Do you. Do you in the Lord, girl. You know what I mean? I love it when people just do them in the Lord. You know, sometimes we try to control people's giftings in the Lord, and we restrict the move of God in their lives because you may not have these qualifications, or you may not dress or talk or look or sound. We, you know, and I bind that in the name of Jesus. We bind that up. That has no place here in this place because we are what? We are a body of believers. You know, some are hands, some are feet, some are elbows, but we are assembled together as Jesus is the head. Now, my construction business, if you ever hire us or call us, know we are the least qualified. We are the least likely. I have all the rejects of society, and I'm the most rejected one. But know that we will come and we will work our best for you. We won't lie from you. We won't cheat you. We won't steal from you. And we will be blessed to come out there and work with you. And that's what Jesus does. The master, you know, the stones that the master craftsman rejected, Jesus assembled to himself as the cornerstone that he built his church upon. In a time such as this, God is using the rejects. I don't know about you. Before, as a kid, I didn't think it was cool to be rejected. But actually, I'm kind of liking it now. I don't fit the mold of society. My kids tell me I'm weird. Dad, you're not like everybody else. I'm not. And I don't want to be. But what I need to be, I need to be encouraged. I need to be prayed for. I need to be loved. And I believe all you guys need that same thing. In Pastor Dale's lessons, he's been talking about repentance. Nutshell, the main part of repentance is before I didn't accept Jesus Christ, like Paul, when Paul was on his road to Damascus, this is like the key example for repentance. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, Paul was a man who killed Christians. persecute him in the name of Jesus. But then Jesus showed up to Paul on the way to Damascus and revealed himself to Paul in a special way. Brother Lloyd, the way Jesus revealed himself to me probably isn't the way that he revealed him to you. But that doesn't mean that he's any lesser of a God in your life than he is in mine because he did it a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? He's God. He could do it whatever way he wants to. So I should accept that. And what Paul did is he didn't accept Jesus before. After that, he accepted Jesus. That's the prime example of repentance. But as an ongoing, I need to repent every day. And that means I need to change my mind about things. I needed to change my mind about being this rigid dictator type of dad in my home, type of husband. Submit to me, woman. Yeah, my wife didn't like that very much. I'll tell you what, she's 5'1", 110 pounds, 105, maybe, I don't know. But she's not very submissive, and I'm glad, honey, because it's caused me to be a better man, a greater man, you know, and I've had to learn to love her a different way. We need to learn how to love a different way. We need to be open enough. The Bible says, guard your heart, because the issues of life come from our hearts. When we harden our hearts, we stop God from molding us and forming us and shaping us. Let's be open enough to maybe pray for one another. I'm gonna leave the altar open. I like the good old fashioned altar calls. I was raised in a good old fashioned Pentecostal church, and there was times where I crawled up to that altar. Not saying that we need to do that here, but we need to pray for one another. We need to come to a place where we just stop doing routine church and we become the church and we're there to help each other. The Bates family, Dougie, I mean, that brother's a soldier for the Lord, and I see him all over the place doing his thing. He's got something that the Lord has called him to do, and he just doesn't come here to do it. Matter of fact, he may not be here because he's somewhere else doing what the Lord has called him to do. And to me, that's beautiful. You know, there's times I can't come to church because I believe I'm doing what the Lord would have me to do. But we need to be in fellowship with one another. What is fellowship? It's two fellows in a ship. We need to be together. We can't do this by ourselves. We can't do church alone. Remember, there's got to be two or three gathered in his name, not just us and him. That's prayer. That's not church. You and God is prayer. You need another person to have church. But we should at least take the time. And I feel bad because I don't know a lot of your guys' names. I don't know your stories. You know a little bit about mine. But I could probably show you more than I could tell you. So if you're ever up to just hang out for a day and want to see how dysfunctional and how much of a bunch of misfits we are, come on and hang out. And I know you'll be blessed because I know God is in the midst of us. My brother Kenny back there, you know what I mean? One of the hardest workers I got on the team. And we've been able to be there for each other at some of life's hardest moments. You know what I mean? But God has been there too and revealed himself to us. So there's some elders here in the church. I would like to come up. And if at bare minimum, just pray for me. If anybody else would like to be prayed for, that maybe your heart's been hardened a little bit. Maybe you have failed your family. Maybe you have failed to understand where you have misguided your family, where you have damaged your wife. See, I did a lot of damage in my home. And when the Lord saved me, I thought everybody was supposed to forget about. Just because Jesus forgave me, I thought everybody else was supposed to forgive me for what I did. And I expected more out of them than what they were able to do. And that's not fair. And I damaged them more. So if you need insight, you need direction, whatever you need from the Lord as an act of humility. Humility is when you can place yourself below to lift up. I'm going to ask that you come and get prayed for too. Get your prayer. Come, don't leave here not being refreshed, not being blessed. If there's some marital problems going on, you know what I mean? Ask to be prayed for. You know, if you don't want to confess out there in the open to somebody, do it. Confide in somebody. Pray, you know, pray for that person. You know, pray for one another. You know, ask the Lord to soften their heart. Because God will do great things in your life, in your home, in your family, in your marriage, in your relationship with your children. That's a sacred relationship. God refers to us as his children. You know, the Bible says in the end days, there's going to be what? You know, there's going to be conflict and households divided, and a house divided against itself can't stand. There'll be, you know, fathers against daughters and sons against moms, and that is not the will of God. And we as Christians, in a practical sense, need to stand against that. Even when our kids are not living the way God would want them to live, we need to love them. We need to pray for our enemies. We need this stuff. That's what I believe the real church is. That's what I believe this church is, because I've seen it played out outside of this building. And I've gotten to know a few of you guys. I know your hearts. I don't see too many robotic Christians up in here. I see people that love God, that come to church because they want to be here, not because they want to belong to a clique or be accepted. They just want to grow. They want to be and flourish who God called and created them to be. So if the elders would just, at minimum, pray for me, and then again, the altar's open for anybody else that would love to be prayed on, whether it be just wisdom, whether it be, you know, encouragement, whether it be somebody sick in the family, a mentor, what do you need? Do you need a man to come beside you? I grew the most in my life when another man, Christian man, came beside me and practically taught me the things of God. Not spoke all these big spiritual words, but like practically, simply explained and showed what it meant. And then I was like, wow, in a language that I understood. Because sometimes I can speak Christianese now, but I didn't understand Christianese. I know it made me feel good. It made me jump around a little bit, but I didn't have no understanding from that. And God is a God of understanding. He's a God of wisdom. He's a wise God. He's not a foolish God. So with that said, God bless you. And the Lord, I love you all. And again, if you need some prayer, you need some encouragement, don't leave here without being blessed. Take the time to get to know somebody. Don't just come do this church thing because it's something you do. Be the church. Take this with you wherever you go. All right? So then, I'm going to be getting my prayer on. God bless y'all.